The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
If you were still fighting and this was your chance to be on a UFC card in this situation, and maybe your only chance, would you be there?
No. Fred, what am I looking to do, get beat up and get coronavirus? I was always aware of what I was as a fighter.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you were at that level, though.
If I were serious about it?
If it were your life, if you didn't have a radio show to pay the bills.
I mean, then yeah, I probably would have to.
We talked a little bit about the Texans' schedule yesterday and my prediction that they could easily go 0-4 right out of the gate.
And then it ain't really that easy, like, you know, right thereafter either. They've got some tough matches.
They do, and they're not going to win all those because they never do. Remember the Panthers last year and Broncos. But those are teams that I think they can compete with. Frankly, I think they have zero chance against the Chiefs or Ravens. I mean, less than zero. It's like, don't even go on the field.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-ESPN. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You missed the first two classes. That's some of what you missed, and all available on podcastarena.com. Although, you know, go ahead and listen to the show live and then go back and listen to whatever you missed later, because we want you to listen now.
Have you been following this thing on MLB.com where, I don't know how often they're doing it. It seems like every few days they put out a list of each team's best player ever at each position, and then you can look at each team's top five players in history at that position.
No, I haven't been following that.
I'm interested in it. And Brian McTaggart, I believe, did most of the work on this for the Astros, but they had somebody in every market do it. But today was center field, and Brian McTaggart ranked the top five center fielders in Astros history. I want to see if you can pull some of these. I'll start off by telling you George Springer, Terry Poole, and Richard Hidalgo played more games in right field than center field, so they are not considered on this list.
Yeah, I would assume Poole was a right fielder. I don't remember him playing that much center.
So who are the top five Astros center fielders that you recall?
Oof. Man, I'd have to go back and look. I know didn't Cesar Cedeno play center field mostly?
Yes, he's number one on the list. It feels like there's some quality at the top, and then it gets pretty rough in a hurry. So number one is Cesar Cedeno, 1970-81. Honestly, a guy who, if he were healthy, would have been one of the I think he'd be even recognized as a greater player. But he and J.R. Richard being hurt on that 1980 team possibly cost him a shot at the World Series. Yeah. But he's number one. Jimmy Winn is number two, 1963-73. I know you remember watching him in your childhood, Fred.
Before my time, I just read a lot about him. I thought he was a left fielder, though. I guess not.
Most games in center field, apparently.
Okay.
And this is where it feels like there's a tremendous drop-off after number two. Number three, Michael Bourne.
Ooh.
Doesn't that feel like a massive drop?
Yeah, I mean, he was
don't get me wrong
here, but
excellent fielder. You know, nice stolen bases. I mean, but the third best center fielder in your history? Yeek.
And he was a better player before he got here, too.
Yes. Well, and number four is a player who was okay here, was significantly better after he left. traded the first time he was traded for Glenn Davis. Steve Finley is the guy. Got traded from Baltimore for Glenn Davis. Another, you know, really great defensive player who was solid offensive guy here. Involved in one of the worst trades in Astros history, in my opinion. 11-player deal that saw Finley and Caminiti go to the Padres, Derek Bell and Doug Brocale, among some other guys, coming back to Houston. Caminiti wins the NL MVP in 96 with San Diego. Finley went on to win 5 gold gloves and make 3 all-star teams with the Padres and Diamondbacks afterwards. And number 5 on the list, and mind you, Steve Finley was only here 3 years, and he ends up number 4 on the list. Number 5 on the list, Jake Marisnyk.
Oh, my God.
He has a .232 batting average over his time with the Astros, and he is the 5th best center fielder. Oof.
This has got to be very heavily oriented towards defense then.
I mean, you want to hear the honorable mentions, and you want to tell me if any of these guys top them?
Go ahead.
Willie Tavares, 2004 to 06. Carl Everett, 1998-99, played 2 seasons, and he's in the honorable mentions. And Gerald Young, 87 to 92, who he's the guy that I remember as a kid being the center fielder for the Astros. And yeah, it's not a great list, honestly.
Yeah, well, that just goes to show you that has been a position of problem for a very long time. And although, I mean, Springer's pretty much a center fielder now.
He is now. And if you do this list in 2 years, he'll have played more games at center field than he would at left field. But yeah. But they've done it for every position now except for right field. So they've done catcher, first base, second base, third base, shortstop, and left field so far. But
I'd be interested about shortstop, because shortstop before Correa was a pretty thin place too.
Well, I can tell you who he had. He had number one is Carlos Correa. Number two, the second best shortstop in Astros history, Dickie Thon.
It's probably fair. Sad what he could have been, but he's still a pretty okay player.
Oh my God! Beyond him, it's really embarrassing. Number 3, Adam Everett. Number 4, Craig Reynolds. Number 5, Dennis Mankey.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought that would be a very thin position.
That's hard times.
that's why it's been kind of cool actually having Correa, a guy who's a star at the position.
Well, when he's there.
Somebody asked about Kenny Lofton. They traded Kenny Lofton off long before he ever did anything.
Before
with the
he was
Astros.
Great.
That was another candidate for worst trade in Astros history.
That's up there.
Kenny Lofton for Ed Taubensee.
Oh.
He was a catcher. And then Lofton went on to be a really good player. And what made no sense is the Astros have been talking about Lofton as this great prospect forever. And then they give him away for a catcher, and he turns out to be good.
Ed Taubensee didn't even make the honorable mentions of catcher, believe it or not, for the Astros.
I bet you the catchers aren't that strong either.
Now, number 1, Brad Ausmus. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Ausmus, Alan Ashby, Jason Castro, 3. Tony Eusebio, 4. Johnny Edwards, 5. Yuck.
Yeah, I've never even heard of Johnny Edwards.
He played in the 60s.
Okay, that's why. Eusebio, I might put ahead of Castro, but boy, that's a lot of garbage.
Yeah, there ain't a lot of... You know what? Maybe their strongest position, left field.
Okay.
Number 1, Lance Berkman. Number 2, Jose Cruz. Number 3, Carlos Lee. Number 4, Moises Alou. Number 5, Luis Gonzalez.
That's a good group.
I mean,
that one's not embarrassing.
Billy Hatcher gets dropped to the honorable mentions on that list. That's a pretty good squad, I say.
Yeah, yeah.
That's got to be their best position, you know, as far as quality guys, depth down that line. Third base, they had Bregman and Caminiti, but then it gets to Doug Rader, Morgan Insberg, and Phil Garner. So a couple, but that's, I mean, unless you're like the Yankees or the Red Sox, a lot of these teams have good at the top and then a pretty quick drop off. Like, that's what was I read the Yankees thing today because I wanted to see who they put, Mickey Mantle or Joe DiMaggio, and they put Mickey Mantle. But I mean, imagine that's your, that, you know, Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio, there's a conversation to be had. And I don't know that Jake Mariznick would have cracked the top five for the Yankees. I'm not quite sure.
So I'm curious what they did with second base. I'm guessing Altuve, Morgan, Bill Doran.
Biggio 1, Altuve 2, Morgan 3, Bill Doran 4, Jeff Kent 5. That's actually a really strong group too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I don't think of Biggio as a second baseman. I think of him as more of an outfielder.
But I think that's where he played the most games at. Yeah, but I also think it's a joke that they put Craig Biggio ahead of Jose Altuve.
Agreed. Agreed.
Let's we got to stop pretending that Craig Biggio is a better player than Jose Altuve.
Yeah, well, if he were using trash cans, maybe he'd have been better.
Maybe so.
So
instead of Davis. Oh, okay. I was going to say, I thought you were accusing him of steroid use, but.
Well, I've told you the story about how I played in a charity golf tournament with him, and this was back when I could hit the ball a mile and was winning a lot of long drives. And I just tattooed one as hard as I could get it and was looking for the sign because it was a long drive hole, and it was like 30 yards down, and it was Craig Biggio.
Nice.
So, you know, just going to go on record as saying I think he got some help. That's all.
There you go.
And, yeah, it was, you want to talk about one of the most disheartening things ever. It's like, okay, here's the long drive hole. And most of the time you're going to mess up. And I just pure it. Man, I hit it as well as I could possibly hit it. And, you know, with just a little draw for some extra power and all this stuff. And I'm going, okay, I just put myself on the leaderboard. Somebody's going to have to go get that one. And then you look 30 yards down the fairway and I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
But, many, many years ago.
Lamont asked me a tough question. How do you feel you're doing in a managerial position right now to take it off of, you know, to make it serious for a minute? And I don't really know because, you know, I'm still getting tweets about Barry and Raheel, and rightfully so. I mean, those dudes were important to the station. I don't know how I'm doing in a managerial position right now. I'm just doing the best I can. That's all I can say. I'm pleased with how some things have gone down. I'm displeased about others, but you know, I'm probably not the guy to ask. I don't know. I hope I'm doing all right.
I could probably answer that for you if you want, because you know, I'm in the management meetings with you. I'm in the discussions with everybody else, and I think especially times like right now, this is the hardest time to be a manager. It really is, because You're having to make decisions that aren't always based on just merit or talent or anything else, and you have to manage up and manage the expectations of the people on that are above you, and you have to manage the expectations of your employees, and you have loyalties to both. And when things are going perfectly, it's an easy job. I mean, yeah, you get irritated over scheduling and things like that, but when things are at their toughest and you have to make these hard decisions, I mean, that's when the job's at its hardest. And you know, you can't necessarily judge the outcomes. You have to kind of look at the process. And, you know, I think you've done a really good job through this. And not everybody's going to agree, because you're going to have to make decisions that affect people. And
yeah,
they don't like that. But, you know, I think I've told you, you've done a better job through this process than I did when I was at the Chronicle, because it was a very similar situation. And I didn't handle it well. I basically just walked away because I didn't want to deal with it.
I appreciate that. What I will say is, there's never a time that I'm in meetings that I'm not fighting for my guys. So I am proud of that. And I don't always win the fights, but there's never a time that I go into meetings and I'm not trying to get the best for my guys.
And that's all you can do. And especially now, I mean, in nobody feels like they're doing a good job right now. Nobody. But that's because we're in a different situation than you've ever had to deal with. And, you know, I, you know, frankly, I think there's some things that I need to be doing better right now because, but it's, I don't think anybody could feel good about where their company is right now. I mean, I think we're doing the best we can across the board with all of our platforms to try to do a good job. And it's, you know, and I think some people are doing a really good job. And I think, you know, sometimes, I guess here's the example I'll use. Sometimes a football team can go 8-8 and everybody wants to fire the coach. And maybe he did his best coaching job ever because that team should have been 3-13. And sometimes that's, you know, you did a good coaching job. It may not show up in the scoreboard. And right now, I don't think anybody's showing up on the scoreboard. So, you know, 8-8's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, the best I can do. Yeah. What I can tell you is, I'm telling you what you need to do. If I'm leading you anywhere, it's going to be to some Carbach. That's where I've been finding myself lately. And of course, the guys at Carbach always doing a great job, a great partner for us. And they basically committed themselves when all this stuff was going on. The restaurant and patio is they're opening now. Obviously, they're not doing. It's not filled up. They're currently offering full service seating on their outdoor patio and garden space only. They're open from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. right now. So you can go there and get a meal, and you can go there and have a beer. And, you know, these guys closed down the restaurant for a while. They kept paying their guys, but they focused heavily on making sure that the grocery stores were stocked with their beer. So if you wanted your Love Street, your Hopadillo, your Crawford Bach, your Southern Wheat, your Light Circus, that it was available to you there. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to keep updated with the what's going on at the restaurant, what's going on with the brewery. And when you're out at the grocery store, make sure you grab some Carbach.
Stop asking me. I know they mad at me. Nah. Hop in the coupe, then I slide like it's Vaseline. West Coast 6, Fulton like...
May I have everyone's attention?
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5.
So am I still waiting for this world to stop hating? Can't find a good reason, can't find hope to believe in.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and I got a text from somebody I used to work with asking me why I thought I didn't handle things well when I was at the Chronicle. And yeah, I'm not afraid to admit when I make mistakes. And I think my biggest mistake was just, you know, saying, hey, I don't want to deal with this. And it was my job to deal with it. And so I walked away. And it was, there was, and I think I've told you this on air, but the only reason I ever wanted to be sports editor was because my dad had worked his whole life for that job and never got it, and they kept passing him over. And so I kind of felt like, you know what, I'm going to get this job before I quit. And I got the job, and I realized, boy, this isn't
job sucks.
I mean, I'm spending more time helping people book flights and things than I was doing actual sports. And, you know, so... And there were some other issues, but the main thing was I kind of looked up and said, hey, I'm 42 years old. If I'm going to do anything else in life, I can't stay here another 5 years. I might have panicked a little bit and just walked away from it so I didn't have to deal with it. Now, the positive is, yeah, I think now I'm a lot better equipped to deal with things like this. And if we have to make more decisions that impact the company, then, you know, I hope I'll have some insight. But yeah, that's, I mean, I... You know, I don't ever claim to have done everything right in my life. I mean, I try to learn from mistakes, and I think that's what you do in every business, and we're all going to make them. And the thing is, as long as you can make more good decisions than bad decisions, not unlike a football coach, you're going to be okay. 713 says, love drinking a beer with the wife and dog and listening to you guys every day. Thanks for all the great content you guys provide. Thank you for listening, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's appreciate you guys.
You know what, man? You did something,
Jeff,
that was pretty valuable the other day when we were having a rough show on Wednesday, and you told the listeners if you work with our sponsors and you reach out to them and tell them that you know you enjoy their product and you enjoy that they sponsor your favorite show. Dude, I don't know how many emails I've gotten from sponsors, you know, forwarded on from listeners saying, hey, you know, great job pushing the message, guys. So you did a good job getting people on board with that. That's very cool, and we appreciate it.
Well, that's our business now, and frankly, you take that for granted sometimes when things are going well. And yeah, I don't think you or I or Granato or Lance and some other people ever do. I mean, I think we talked about trying to have personal relationships with our, you know, with the people we endorse. But you know, now when you realize how their businesses are suffering, and you know, you still want people to go out and do business with them, and that's, you know, I mean, that's just something that, you know, maybe it's inside baseball, but I mean, I also, the one thing I really took away from all this is just how invested people are in our shows. And if you want to continue to be that way, that's the best way to do it, man. And we have some great sponsors, and you know, especially now I'm mentioning these guys, whether they advertise on our show or not, I think anybody at this station, give them a try. That's all we're asking, is if you're in the market for any of these things. And that's, you know, like Laurie, Dave and I were talking last night, he fixed up the kid's car and we sold that to GiveMeTheVIN.com. So kind of brought two worlds together there. And, you know, we're just, that's how this thing operates. That's how we're able to bring you shows that don't cost you anything. And, you know, I hope that's always the case. And I do appreciate the listeners reaching out and letting them know. That's really cool, because we got a lot of bleeping listeners out there, and you know, all the way from north side all the way over to Lake Charles, Louisiana. So, you know, we love you guys and appreciate what you do for us, and just keep doing your best with that, man. That's a good thing. And you know, if you've got a business that you've been thinking about advertising that you think we might be able to help you out, hit Todd up, man.
Yep.
We're always looking for that. Especially being a manager is hard. It's hard to make someone care about something as much as you do. It is. And, you know, the other flip side of it is you want people to buy into what your vision is. And when you do that and you get people who can do that, and then you're told you got to let them go, it sucks. And, you know, it not every conversation's easy. And sometimes you have to, you know, they're the way I've always tried to do it with either bosses or myself and the people under me is like, we may have a big disagreement over how to do something, but at some point that when it's my decision to make, we'll argue about it. And a lot of times I'll take, you know, I'll say, you know what, let's do what you want to do. That'll work better. But at the end, if I say, okay, this is how we have to do it, then that's the end of the argument. You know, you have discussion about it, and then you come up with the best thing, and whether it's your idea or somebody else's. So what always pisses me off about Bill O'Brien is him hiring all his friends. I tried to hire people who want my job. I tried to hire people who would be motivated to try to get my job and have different opinions, because I can't think of everything. I'm not smart enough for that. And you know, that's where I've had the most success. Surround yourself with good people and listen to them, but also don't be afraid to say, "Oh, that, you know what, we're not doing it that way." And it was a lot. It wasn't all that different than radio, because we do everything is day to day here. And in the newspaper, it was the same thing. You had to start from scratch every single day. So you couldn't just come up with everything on your own. If you did, and believe me, I worked with people who thought that's how they had to do it. And they were the worst ones we had. They were the O'Briens. And I guess that's why I despise Bill O'Brien so much. It's just, I've worked with people like that. And it doesn't matter how smart they are. They're not smarter than everybody else by themselves. But anyway, well, that's probably more than people wanted to know about what a horrible person I was back in the day.
Yeah, way to go.
I had people. Well, but you know, it's you also, you come up through the ranks with these people. They're your friends. And then suddenly you're the manager, and you had to deal with that. It changes the dynamic, but it doesn't have to be unsuccessful. But 832 says, can cut my own hair, but I do have a barber that I go to. He posts his appointments are booked until Monday from 7 a.m. till 9 p.m. I'll wait for now. Gosh, yeah.
All right.
What
about you? You holding out?
I'm holding out because I'm growing the mane out now.
Okay.
I'm going full Lebowski, and I added a little color to it this week. Did not do the full on black. I did darkest brown, and it looks pretty good. It looks pretty good. This is kind of funny, but when I went to Walgreens to get all my prescriptions, and I told you how the shelves were all picked over, didn't have a wide variety of male hair coloring there.
Do you have purple hair right now? Please tell me yes.
No, it's dark brown, but
okay.
I would have liked to have done something totally bizarre like that, but they didn't have it. It was like they had like three different flavors.
I shaved my beard day one of working from home, and I haven't shaved it since. And there is so much gray in my beard. I don't know. I'm aging exponentially fast.
Well, this damn Rona will age you, man. It's like being the president. So. All right, we'll take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. A couple people asking about, did we talk UFC? We did, 4:15. We had a really good interview. 4:30, we kind of went over some of it. Somebody asking, do you have a quick thought on the main and co-main event? And for betting purposes, all AJ stuff is on pregame.com, so you can go get the entire card there and a bunch of winners, I'm sure.
I do think the co-main and the main, the dogs are live. I believe that. I think that these are fights that can be won by the underdog, by Dominic Cruz and by Justin Gaethje. I think that had they had this fight, 4 weeks ago or whenever it was that they were going to do it at Taichi Palace, and they had basically just called Justin Gaethje and said, hey, man, you want to fight Tony Ferguson in 3 days? And he was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll do that. I think he wouldn't have had much of a shot, but now he's had at least some kind of a fight camp. I give him a pretty good shot. And I'm not a Henry Cejudo guy. I think that, honestly, the two most disliked or at least unlikable guys in the UFC for me are on this card, Henry Cejudo and Greg Hardy. I don't know if Greg Hardy has a chance of losing. I think they're throwing him a guy that should be the kind of guy he'll run through because he's just a better athlete. But I think Henry Cejudo, he's coming off a shoulder surgery. I could see him having some struggles, man.
All right. Yeah, I'm just going to get your pregame picks and then bet that way. It's like you're like Jerry Bowe with soccer for me. I'm just going to follow along.
All right.
So, Pat in the 409 says, believe me, I'm not stick to sports guy. Robot sex and penis jokes are my favorite part of the show. I'm surprised you guys haven't spent a lot of time talking about the NFL schedule. We have, actually. I feel like we've hit on that at least three or four times today, and we did an entire segment on the Texans yesterday because it happened before the end of the show. So, I mean, I don't know what else you can sit there and analyze about a schedule that's probably not going to happen, guys. We looked at some of the worst Thursday night matchups. Not really sure what to tell you there. I feel like we've covered it more than enough.
Did you see the story today about Michael Jordan and Horace Grant?
Yeah, I did.
If you haven't heard, Michael Jordan, if Horace Grant did not play well, Michael Jordan would make the stewardesses skip him on team planes after games. And basically, he wouldn't let him eat dinner. Don't feed him. He doesn't deserve to eat, is what he would tell the stewardesses. Dude. I mean, we knew that these guys weren't best buddies. But, yeah, that's... This is the kind of stuff that there needs to be more of in that documentary. I know Jordan was, like, controlling of what got put out there. This stuff is great. This is gold.
I know, and you're getting a lot of this now. Guys are coming forward. But that's been one of my beefs about the documentary. I think they've really glossed over some things because Jordan clearly didn't want them out there. And
yep.
And this would certainly be one of them, but I guess, and I'm not out on it, but I kind of lost interest when the way they handled the whole gambling thing. They used it to show how competitive he was, but you know, then they let him talk about how, well, I have millions of dollars. My kids eat. I don't have a gambling problem. It's like, okay, that's the same excuse that I've heard every person that I've ever known with a gambling problem use. And plus there are stories out there about some of his problems and not wanting to pay his bets.
Well, I'm wondering if, because obviously we're about to go through this stuff with his dad, I'm wondering if they touch more on the gambling and the rumors surrounding that.
I hope so.
I don't know that we're done with the gambling.
Well, to me, so far I think the Rodman one has been the most interesting one.
By far.
And I thought the gambling one would get a little bit, more into addressing those rumors as opposed to just him dismissing them. And I thought it was a cop-out, frankly. And so hopefully, yeah. And I think all the rumors about his dad, I kind of hope those get dealt with. I hope they're not just glossed over either. I don't know if you saw this. But the Astros are hoping to get George Springer extended.
I know they've been hoping that, but what are the odds?
According to Chandler Rome.
Oh, go ahead.
It says owner Jim Crane made it clear to Springer's representatives that his club was interested in a long-term deal. The talks aren't permitted during the league's transaction freeze, though the sides can come back to the table once that freeze is lifted. So he basically has made it clear that they went out of their way to avoid arbitration, and he wants to get him locked up long term. So,
well, it's not a surprise that they want to get him locked up. And you know what? This coronavirus may actually help his cause. Because I don't know that he would get as much out on the open market now as he would have gotten, a year ago. Because obviously the climate is changing every day. So, but I've been saying all along, my guess is George Springer wants to hit the jackpot with this contract, and he's not looking to give hometown discounts. Would be my guess.
Well, it doesn't sound like they're asking for a hometown discount. It sounds like they're trying to come to a fair market deal, which I don't even know what that is right now.
That's true.
But I do think, I do think this changes the environment. We just saw a whole bunch of guys who thought they were going to get ridiculous money that didn't, and he's going to be on the wrong side of 30. I think if they come to him with a 5-year deal worth a bunch of money, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
So, 713-780-ESPN is your number. I mean, I don't know if he wants to be there or what. It's hard to tell. But, they've shown they'll take care of guys if they want to be there with Altuve and Bregman. And at least they want to make this happen, which I don't know. I don't blame him. I think as many of these guys as you can keep, great. But, you know, does that mean you can't keep Correa? Because at some point, man, I don't think.
And that's a tough call because, you know, with what they've done so far, wouldn't you rather have Springer than Correa? But then you also remember Correa is how many years younger than Springer?
Right.
I mean, it really does make for some tough decisions.
Yeah, and now once Gringy comes off the books, that's a bunch of money you'll have.
Yeah, but that's a bunch of you're going to have to spend money on pitching at that point.
Yeah. I don't know how this if this winds up being a year off. I still don't think it's a good thing for the Astros, even if they get Springer re-signed.
No, because then you're talking about a Verlander's a year older. Yeah, I don't think we talked about that window, and obviously the window mostly refers to contractual in that context. But Verlander getting another year older, that doesn't help. I guess in a way it could help that he's putting less miles on it and having a nice extended off season. But I don't know, man. I think I'd lean toward when you've got an older pitching staff, which, I mean, at least the front end of their pitching staff is older. Obviously, every day that passes is a day closer to the end for them.
Well, true, but in Verlander's case, he had two pretty bad injuries that he had to recover from. He wouldn't have even been pitching yet. So there is an advantage there, is that if you do play, you'll have Verlander ready to go. And I mean, we're into May now. He's just now he's not even throwing off a mound yet.
Yep.
So, from that perspective, I think that's going to be a positive. And I don't worry too much about Greinke. The way he pitches now, that guy can probably throw another 3 or 4 years and be effective. Just it's not like he's out there wailing the ball past people. And it's control and off speed and things like that. And you can pitch like that pretty much up until you're 39, 40 years old if you want and be effective if you stay on top of it. So, all right, let's take a quick break. Man, only one segment left to go in the show. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Damn right we did it. What the F you gonna do when we run up on you? Messing with the wrong crew. Don't know what we going through. I'm gonna have to show how easily...
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, and a lot of people have been emailing me about the book, and I think I've got everyone on the break here, but just like some of you haven't read the first one, it's available at JesusTheNovel.com if you want to go get that. If you have read it and you want to read the sequel, just email me and I'll send it to you. I'll do that until Monday, and then I got to cut it off because we got to start the real publishing process on it. It's just a PDF file, but it tells the story, and I think it turned out pretty good. And shout out to 346, says with all that's been going on right now, is lucky enough to land a job. So excited to be back to work and get some money in my pocket. Been a rough couple of months. Good for you,
congratulations,
man. What are we at, 14% now unemployment, which is depression era levels. I mean, it's rough out there, man.
And yet somehow the stock market is going up.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on with that.
But so what's the economy? Is it the unemployment rate or is it the stock rate? What that means is super rich guys are doing well and the average Joe, not so much.
Well, unfortunately, that's the case too often in America, but you know, I don't want to be making any political statements. How about we do the Zadok, not the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day, the stupid stuff. Jeez. Yeah.
Stupid stuff. We've said this week.
The Dolphins kind of release their plans for how they're going to do it, and sounds like they're going to let about 15,000 people in the building, which, you know, it's not all that different from a normal Dolphins home game, but I think. And we're told Daria said, die, bitch, die, after the alleged attack.
Damn. Was it that bitch Carol Baskin?
It was not that bitch Carol Baskin. It was that bitch Daria Aliyabayeva. I promise I will have at least one pecker joke tomorrow for the people.
Thank you. It's all the people are here for, Fred.
These murder hornets, you see what they do to bees? They basically just destroy
bees. Behead them.
Yeah. And
why don't the bees beat their ass?
Well, I mean, can't you team up?
Yeah, there's a lot of bees to one hornet.
I mean, I'm
not telling you how to do your bee business, but, I mean, it seems like a good move to attack the hornet.
Seems like they're a little cowardly. But this thing's
I'm not giving up my hive that easy, I can tell you that.
2006, Big Hawk, rapper from Houston, murdered at the age of 36.
I'm against murder, by the way, ever since that day.
I was against murder a little before that, but okay. Another reason why she'll always go down as the worst one.
Why you love her so much, you mean?
No, I don't. I don't.
Didn't you call your sweet babu or something like that?
Baboon, maybe.
Oh, a sweet baboon. That's what it was. Okay. O.J. Simpson, you know, great athletic career, Heisman Trophy winner. All anyone's ever going to remember him for is that Hertz Airport commercial. That's it.
AMC is doing a new series.
The Barking
starring
Dead.
Starring Jim Gaff. No.
Oh, this okay.
Is, well, it might
it's
be
like The Walking Dead, but with dog zombies.
She died at 50 from?
50?
50.
Breast cancer.
You know what? I'm going to give you that pancreatic cancer. Close enough.
Oh, okay. All right.
The pancreas is close enough to the breast.
The pancreas bone's connected to the breast bone.
Yeah. I mean, that's 7 degrees of porn star Kevin Bacon. We could probably make that work. I don't know about y'all, but I can't wait to meet Godzilla in December. Yeah, that's what we need. Yeah, in these trying times, as all the commercials say, we need Godzilla.
He would end this thing in a hurry.
Yeah.
Actually, though, I think Godzilla has asthma, so it's probably not a great time for him to come up from the depths of the sea, because he's what we would consider a high-risk monster.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
That's such a stupid joke. Boy. Godzilla has asthma. Yeah. Good one, AJ. That one, that's a real banger. That's going to be on my Netflix special.
How about Mothra? Maybe Mothra can handle it.
Now that's a good call. That's a good call. But then who would defeat Mothra other than Godzilla? I don't know. I mean, we're so lost in this time.
I think Mothra would defeat the Rona, and then we would have... I think our weapons are better now.
When it's safe for Godzilla to emerge, he'll defeat Mothra?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Although I think by now, I think we have good enough weapons to take out Mothra. Remember, those movies were made in like the 50s and 60s.
It seems like all you need is a really good flamethrower.
I don't think that would get Godzilla.
No,
Godzilla,
I'm talking about Mothra.
Oh, Mothra, yeah. I mean, he's a moth.
Yeah.
Theoretically, moths, flames. I mean, there's some kind of cliche about that. So, God, that was... I miss those Saturday afternoon movies. Godzilla versus the Smog Monster and things like that when I was a kid. And it was always Godzilla, and he always destroyed Tokyo somehow.
He was the king of the monsters, Fred.
Probably the greatest monster, I'm going to say. King Kong up there. I mean, in the conversation. I mean, it's not like Jordan and everybody else right now. I think you could make a strong case.
You're saying King Kong is like the LeBron of monsters.
Yeah.
Like he's in the conversation. Fair.
Godzilla is the Jordan, and King Kong is LeBron.
Yeah, so there's a debate to be had. It's not like Gretzky. Godzilla's not Gretzky, is what you're saying.
No. And, you know, I
don't
think
come at me with Bobby Orr, for crying out loud.
Gordie Howe. That's
I won't hear Gordie Howe either. I won't hear it. I won't hear of it.
Well, I mean, Godzilla also had better coaching than King Kong. There's no question.
Godzilla always had a lot of help. Godzilla didn't have to move. He didn't have to switch teams. He didn't have to team up with humans to have his success to be the greatest monster.
And don't forget, he had his own mini-me. He had Godzuki.
Yeah, but King Kong did win championships in New York and Kong Island.
Yeah.
Or Skull Island, whatever it was. I don't remember. It's stupid.
Well, you win in New York, man. You're officially a superstar.
That's right. That's right.
And, yeah, he was...
if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere, according to Jay-Z.
It's like Madison Square Garden.
That's right.
And the Empire State Building, he was it.
Man.
His only weakness, blondes.
Concrete jungle where dreams are made of.
Oh, boy. King Kong and I have the same weakness, blondes. So.
Yeah. And booze, right?
Yeah. Oh, he was a drinker.
Oh, I mean,
he used to party with Andre the Giant all the time, yeah. And he could hang with Andre. That'll tell you something.
Boy. Oh, thank God this week is over.
Yeah, I think I'm getting a little bit loopy here if we're talking about King Kong's drinking habits. Oh, but hey, I was going to ask you, speaking of drinking habits, have you had the Bishop's Barrel 25 yet?
God, I don't know off the top of my head. Which one is it?
Well, I just saw it last night. I know I haven't had it, and I picked it up and brought one home, so I think I'm going to go pop that one open.
All right. So yeah.
It's the most recent one, yeah.
I don't know when they put one out, but I have not. The last one I had was 24. I checked my drunk app. A Baltic Porter aged in port barrels. Nice. Yeah, I'll try it out.
Okay. Yeah, well, I know a place where you can get them if need be, so that's where I got mine last night.
And if it ain't delivered by my grocery people, it ain't going to my house for a while.
All right, that's going to wrap it up. Great job, Hoffman. Great job, Aaron. Hope everybody has an awesome weekend. And until Monday, stay Rona-free, bitches.